Talk Radio Africa. In today's show, we discuss female genital mutilation in a way that has never been done before. Have you ever asked yourself, what happens to the woman who undergoes female genital mutilation, or FGM, as a young child or a teenager? When that child or teenager finally grows up into a young woman, what does she actually have to live through? Few discussions have taken place on where the young woman can get help with reconstruction and sexual issues. Listeners, today's topic is quite sensitive and is not appropriate for listeners younger than 18 years old. In our studio today, we are so privileged to have a sexologist, an expert in human sexuality. She is one of two sexologists in the nation of Kenya, where we are recording. And she's one of three in Eastern Africa. She is Dr. Tamari Esho. Dr. Tamari Esho has a doctorate in biomedical sciences and Masters of Human Sexuality from the University of Louvain, Belgium. She's also a senior lecturer and chairperson of the Department of Community and Public Health at the Technical University of Kenya. Dr. Esho is a sexual medicine expert, specializing in the diagnosis and treatment of sexual health problems for both individuals and couples. She conducts sexual health care capacity building and training for healthcare professionals. She is also the Secretary General of the African Society for Sexual Medicine. She's conducted research on the sexual experiences of women living with FGM. She has also collaborated with the World Health Organization and developed sexual healthcare guidelines for healthcare providers who take care of women suffering from sexual health complications of FGM. Guys, how are you? Welcome to our show. Today we talk about FGM. We have a no holds barred discussion. In our studio today, we are so privileged to have Dr. Esho. She is a sexologist. Did you know there is a profession called sexologist? She will tell us what it's all about, and we are going to have a very sensitive talk about FGM. We are going to talk about the questions that you are ashamed to talk about in open, the questions and topics that you talk about in whispers, but they have to be talked about. So welcome, Dr. Esho.
Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm glad to be here and glad to be of help to the women that are going through FGM and suffering the consequences of FGM.
Oh man, thank you so much. Now, I know a lot of people are asking, what is a sexologist? Can you believe it? When you told me that there's a sexologist, do you talk about sex all the time? What is a sexologist?
So sexology is a branch in medicine. Actually, it's a scientific study of human sexuality, which means sexual behaviors, sexual interests, and other different disciplines surrounding sexuality.
Wow.
So a sexologist is an expert that can actually address specific problems with regards to sexual health and sexual problems, sexual dysfunctions, amongst others.
So it's a discipline like any other in medicine.
Exactly.
Really.
Yes.
There is a cardiologist.
Yeah.
There is a urologist.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a sexologist.
Yes.
You actually go to university for many years
mm-hmm.
to become a sexologist.
Yes, to study sexual medicine.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, wow, wow. So you, actually you are an authority in sexual health. Okay. There are very few of you in Eastern Africa, I believe.
Very few. Actually, in Kenya, for instance, we are only two with, with the European certification for sexual medicine.
What?
And probably Uganda, maybe there is one. We are actually very few. We are countable in Africa.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it is a big day here at Health Talk Radio Africa. Now let's get into our show. We've talked about FGM for 50 years or so, and a lot has been said about FGM, but very little has been said on what happens after FGM. Let's real quickly tell us about the different forms of FGM. You know, we talk about FGM or female genital mutilation, but there are several types. Just briefly, just tell us something about the types.
So FGM, like you said, is female genital mutilation, and this involves partial or total cutting of the female, parts of the female external genitalia.
Oh.
And this can happen in different ways. So we have something called type 1. Which is called excision, and this involves the removal of the prepuce or the cutting of the prepuce and sometimes part of the clitoris, the tip. And then we have another type called clitoridectomy, which is type 2 of FGM.
Oh.
And here there is the cutting of the prepuce, the clitoris, and sometimes also part of the labia minora or the inner lip. And then we also have the type 3.
There are three types. Oh,
which
okay.
is the most severe type of FGM. It's
wow.
called infibulation.
Mm.
And here there's the removal of parts of, of the prepuce, of the clitoris, of the labia minora, and even worse, bringing together the two parts of the lips that are left to completely narrow the vaginal opening. So this is the most severe type of FGM.
Oh, God. And all these types are found throughout Africa.
All these types are found throughout Africa. Some parts of Asia, like Indonesia, Peru, Russia, parts of Russia.
Oh!
Yeah, so FGM is actually a global problem. It's a global health problem.
It's not just an African.
It's not just an African problem.
Okay.
And then, of course, a lot of Africans who have migrated to the developed world.
Yes.
Again, carry the practice with them or already have undergone FGM, and they bring a lot of problems in the health system.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, and now we are kind of recycling information that is already out there. But just very briefly, what are these complications for type 1, type 2, type 3?
So the complications of FGM vary with the type.
So
type 1 being the least severe, it doesn't have a lot of complications. However, we have immediate complications and we have the long-term complications.
Yes.
So immediate complications happen between the time that a girl has just been cut and up to about 10 days. And then we have long-term complications which happen many years later after a woman has been cut and she's just, she's lived many years. So some immediate complications involve bleeding, infections, sometimes the wounds can refuse to heal, and then we have long-term complications which will involve development of keloids. You know, sometimes when you're cut,
yes.
and then it forms a fibrous tissue when the healing is
yes,
happening.
Yes.
So this can form keloids or cysts, which are growths on that part. And then
so keloid is just very hard tissue.
Very hard tissue.
Very hard tissue
that behaves like a growth. So it's not, it doesn't present as a normal kind of
a scar.
And then of course we have like obstetric complications when a woman is going to give birth. She may develop difficulties in childbirth amongst other problems. Mm. Then sexual complications also are long-term complications.
Sexual complications.
Yes, so some women might experience some form of sexual complications later on in life when they are sexually active.
Oh God, I know our audience is asking right now, what type, give us one type of sexual complication, just one or two. Let's say I've had FGM 10 years ago as a 15-year-old, and I'm 25-year-old, and now what kind of sexual complications am I going to have with my partner?
Yeah, so maybe I can begin by saying not all women who've undergone FGM will have sexual complications.
Yes, yes, that's so good, that's true.
So this is not, because I wouldn't want to stigmatize these women further.
Yes.
However, the different kinds of sexual complications that can be experienced involve problems with sexual desire, for instance, maybe sexual pain. A lot of girls would have sexual pain, especially when they're just beginning experiencing their sexual intercourse.
Yes.
You have other problems such as lack of orgasm. Maybe a lack of sexual satisfaction, a general lack of sexual satisfaction because you don't experience enough pleasure because of the lack of some of the organs that are required to facilitate sexual pleasure.
So actually your whole married or your life really is interfered with sexually when you go through FGM. Not everyone, but in many cases.
In many cases, there are problems.
Yeah.
And then, of course, some of the problems also could be linked with psychological issues.
Okay.
Because a lot of the women I've seen in my practice would have the least severe type of FGM, type 1. So they, most of the time, would have their clitoris intact, or at least partly intact. But because of the trauma they've had, and they believe that FGM has altered their genitalia, they have very poor genital self-image. They just feel that they're not normal, or they're not complete. And then this begins to manifest as sexual problems.
Let's hold that thought, because some of the questions I have today bordering on psychology. Let's go back a bit. Now, suppose I had FGM when a decade ago. I am Lady X, and I want to have some reconstruction. I read an article by a lady. She stated that she felt incomplete as an adult until she went and sought reconstruction in the northern countries. The question really, is it possible to reconstruct female genitalia after someone has gone through FGM, like in the type 1 mild FGM you talked about, where you just cut off the clitoris? Or is it possible to even have any reconstruction after the severe form of FGM?
Yeah, so there are various treatment or surgical treatments available for women who feel that they need to undergo a reconstruction. So, for instance, one of the procedures that have been advocated even by the World Health Organization involves reversing the infibulation. So this is a procedure called de-infibulation.
Wow.
And women who've undergone type 3 of FGM can undergo a de-infibulation to open up whatever has been closed. And then this is majorly done to facilitate sexual intercourse. So you find young girls who just get married and they have had an infibulation and they have a lot of fear surrounding penetration, they would be advised by their doctors to undergo a de-infibulation to open up the vagina to a normal kind of size, to its original size. And then also it's done to facilitate childbirth. So if a woman has is pregnant and she needs to deliver her baby in an easier way, then these women can undergo defibrillation.
Yes.
So to facilitate intercourse and to facilitate childbirth.
Wow.
That one, there's a lot of evidence
that
even the World Health Organization actually advocates for that procedure.
Wow.
For girls who are able to access those kinds of opportunities.
Mm.
And then we have something called clitoral reconstructive surgeries.
Mm.
So these are also some kind of reconstructive surgeries that help to bring back, to bring out the clitoris. So the clitoris has already been, the tip of the clitoris and probably the shaft has been cut off. But there's a large part of the clitoris that is still buried in the deep in the pelvic tissue.
Okay.
So the reconstruction is done to bring out part of the clitoris that is buried beneath so that there is more, you know, a woman can experience more sensitivity.
Okay.
In sexual pleasure.
So you actually pull out like the nerve?
It is actually pulled out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not all of it, but you will pull a part of it to expose it
a bit.
Okay.
So that the woman can have a bit of sexual pleasure because of the sensitive clitoral tissue that is still there.
Yes.
However, when they cut off the glands or the tip of the clitoris,
oh.
a lot of the nerves are around that glands or
yes.
the tip of the clitoris.
Yes.
In fact, in science, it said that about 8,000 nerves are located on the tip of the clitoris.
You must be joking.
And this
8,000 nerves
is 2 times what the male glans penis has.
What?
Because the male glans penis has about 4,000 nerves. So you can imagine that level of sensitivity that this woman actually loses when the glans clitoris is removed.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. However, there's still a lot of sensitivity. The clitoral tissue is, in general, a very sensitive tissue.
Yes.
So even whatever part will be exposed, it will still facilitate.
So she can still have an orgasm with a few nerves that are active, basically.
Yes.
Oh,
even without the reconstructive surgeries,
yes.
some women will still be able to experience pleasure because of the part of the clitoris that is still buried beneath. So if someone is able to actually, you know, have the technique necessary,
yes.
then sexual pleasure can still be experienced even without the reconstructive surgery.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Doc, what you're really saying is that the nerves can be brought forward for the clitoris, for a woman to have a normal orgasm. Is it as intense as a person who has not had FGM, or is it just let's fake it so that, you know, I've got to call a spade. Is this where the situation a woman will have to fake it and say, I'm having a nice time?
I think the level of intensity varies from woman to woman.
Yeah.
Also, depending also, I mean, even women who haven't had an FGM might experience their orgasm or they might not experience an orgasm.
It's true.
So
it's
the
true.
Issues of orgasm varies from woman to woman,
that's
regardless
true.
Of whether they have FGM, and it will be the same also for women that have had FGM.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, of course, the experiences of sexual pleasure are more subjective. It's what a woman feels about herself.
Oh.
And of course, what the partner is doing.
Okay.
So it's more of an evaluation of your situation that will make you feel more pleasure or less pleasure or not enjoy yourself at all.
Okay.
So all these things vary from individual to individual.
So it's not all about physical. There's the sensitivity of the partner.
Exactly.
And the psychology of the woman.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
There's all those things that actually encompass a good sexual health and well-being. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. For that young lady or that young, or whether you're young or not, there's that woman who wants to have reconstruction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this show is about issues that affect Africa. I mean, we're in Africa, East Africa right now. Where can a person get help if they want reconstruction? where would they begin?
Yeah, if a woman feels the need to get a reconstructive surgery, they should definitely begin by seeing their GP.
Oh, a GP, okay.
Yes, who would, listen to what kinds of problems or experiences she has. Because sometimes some of the problems women go through are not necessarily going to be fixed by the surgery, but they could be fixed by something else. Because a lot of women also who have FGM maybe will be more exposed to having, you know, vaginal infections. And when you have a vaginal infection, such as the fungal infection, a woman would probably experience sexual pain or will not, you know, lubricate enough to facilitate intercourse. So there might be sexual problems involved.
Okay.
But the problem will be simple. It will just be treat the problem, treat the ailment, the disease.
Okay.
So generally you begin with the GP, then the GP will of course advise maybe to go for psychotherapy. Some of the problems also that women go through that I have seen also in my practice is if they get very good psychotherapy attention, then they're able to change how they see their sexuality, and then they're able to actually experience sexual pleasure. Because again, like you've already said, a lot of these sexual problems could be psychological problems.
Okay.
And then if psychotherapy doesn't work, then psychosexual therapy. So most of the time I receive clients who are now referred for sex therapy.
Oh.
And then I will also work with them using different sex therapy techniques.
Wow. You know, you answer one question, then 10 more questions come in my mind. Sex therapy. Okay, let's hold that thought if we can keep it. But continue. Where would then, what's the next stage?
So after my evaluation of this woman's condition, and then, of course, also looking at her physical, situation with the FGM, then I can make the decision to refer her to a plastic surgeon. So ideally, it would be a specialized kind of plastic surgeon that will do this kind of clitoral reconstructive surgeries.
Okay.
Or, some kind of surgery to bring out a good, when there is a lot of deformities around the vulva, so the plastic surgeon can fix it and make this woman feel a bit better about her genitalia.
So ultimately, it is a plastic surgeon who can at least reduce the effects of FGM.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Doc, what you're really saying is that a plastic surgeon can reduce the effects of FGM, but not completely take them away. Is that, that's what it's all about?
Yes, the plastic surgeon tries to reconstruct so that the vulva appears a bit normal.
Wow.
And then also can bring out the clitoris so that there's a little bit more sensitivity during sexual intercourse for this woman to enjoy her sexuality.
Okay. You mentioned something that I picked up, and probably the audience didn't really pick it up. Lubrication. When two consenting adults have sexual intercourse, there is lubrication. Does this poor lady who's got FGM get lubrication? Because it's painful without lubrication.
Yeah, so lubrication happens as a sign of sexual arousal.
And that was my next question, yes.
Yeah. So when a woman is sexually aroused,
yes,
the sign that she is aroused would be in the form of lubrication.
Yes.
Because lubrication is a sign of sexual arousal. So the more the woman is aroused, the more lubrication she would get.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is because of the different kinds of glands that are around the labia minora and also around the vaginal opening,
yes,
that will secrete some fluid.
Okay.
And it is this fluid that becomes the lubricant.
Okay. So can the person with FGM get it?
A person with FGM sometimes would have to would have experienced some kind of damage to some of those glands around the vaginal opening or around the labia minora.
Okay.
So sometimes they would have problems with lubrication. However, there is very easy remedy when it comes to lubrication, because you can always get over-the-counter medication that or lubricants that can be used to facilitate sexuality. So it's actually not a big problem.
Oh, Doc, what you're really saying is that for the lady with that FGM, they have to go to get lubricants every time.
Not every woman with FGM, but women that are not able to lubricate properly, because maybe there's some damage that has happened around their vaginal opening and on labia minora, that the glands are not working properly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not a blanket. A blanket problem.
No, it's not a blanket problem.
Okay.
I would prefer to be very clear from the beginning.
Okay.
That these problems are not, affecting all women with FGM.
Okay.
Depending on the kind of damage, then you can experience the problem.
Okay. Yeah. Wow, you have really opened my eyes. I hope your audience have also learned something, that not all problems are... a blanket. Now, we were talking about helping the lady. Mm-hmm. So we've established that a surgeon, a plastic surgeon, can be of help. But suppose there's no plastic surgeon. Can a general surgeon help?
I wouldn't be...
This is Africa.
Yeah.
We have to be really honest. There are not many plastic surgeons around.
Yeah.
You probably have to travel far and wide into very big urban areas to get a plastic surgeon.
Yeah, I think it's best when it's done by a plastic surgeon or a surgeon that has specialization with regards to reconstructing the genitalia, because I think it requires some kind of specialized techniques and also, of course, knowledge about, the organs of the vulva.
Okay. Mm. We could talk until for hours and hours, but let's talk about the psychological journey, about what really happens. We spend so much time focusing on the physical cutting and the complications, but the human brain or the psychological makeup of a human is so important in life. What happens to the person who has undergone FGM? What kind of psychological problems do they get?
Yeah, there are a number of psychological problems that some women who've undergone FGM might experience. And this might usually are related to some kind of psychological trauma that happens. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just buried in the subconscious and could manifest later on in life again, like a problem that this woman is not even linking it back to the FGM.
Oh, like post-traumatic stress.
Yes, some kind of post-traumatic stress.
Oh my.
Yeah, I know of this one lady who underwent FGM, and it's a doctor that performed it, because of the idea that a doctor will do a better FGM and will, this whole idea that there'll be less complications when a doctor does it. But even the fact that the doctor did the FGM, she still experienced very bad psychological trauma that she didn't even know about it until later on in life. Every time she needs to go to for a doctor's visit, she would get a lot of anxiety and will not be in a very good space. And actually, it took her doctor to ask her questions about FGM and realize that she was reliving her experiences that she had undergone when she was very young. This is almost 20, 25 years later that this is happening to her. So psychological trauma is a big problem for these women.
And they don't realize it.
And sometimes they don't realize it. A lot of the clients also that I have seen would have this there will, because a lot of women now know about the problems or the effects of FGM. Mm. And because they know they underwent FGM, psychologically they start believing that they will just have problems. They will, for instance, have sexual problems. So these women begin to link anything that is happening around their life, which could be normal, even for a woman that doesn't have FGM, and just relate it, you know, have some kind of psychological problem that she experiences because she believes FGM was done on her and that something bad had happened.
So you can be healthy having FGM, but then because you believe that something bad has happened, it will happen, and if you don't have complications, something is wrong with you. So that is possible.
It is possible for a woman to believe that she has problems.
And when she has none.
Yeah, and that's why psychotherapy and sex therapy actually helps a lot of women to not go the way of reconstructive surgery. Because again, also reconstructive surgery has its own complications. Because it's a surgery.
It is a surgery.
Yeah, so if a woman can avoid that, it's much easier.
Wow. Ah, yeah. Doc, I wish we could talk, we had more time, but I don't even know how to end this program because our discussion has brought out so many, many questions. But one thing I would ask you to say is, suppose you're in Africa, you are in an urban area and you want help. One, there are not many sexologists like you. There are two in our country. There's one in Uganda. I don't know about Central Africa or Southern Africa or even North Africa. Where can a person, a lady with FGM get help? You said go to the GP and start from there, then go to the surgeon and a plastic surgeon. But, what do I ask? Suppose all these people are not there.
Yeah, this unfortunately, we live in a setup whereby Africa is really huge. And we have a lot of marginalized, you know, locations very far from any form of infrastructure, from health facilities, from doctors, from nurses. But I believe our health systems try to at least, you know, make sure there's a community health worker, make sure there's a nurse, make sure there's probably a clinical officer somewhere within reach or public health officers.
Okay.
We try as much as possible to build the capacity of anyone that is working in the medical field to understand about FGM and to be able to actually help a woman, even if it's just by giving her a referral to, you know, like you can go and see so-and-so, or you can travel and see a particular doctor, or you can get some kind of help. So these are the kinds of, a woman can explore these kinds of possibilities even if they live very far.
Okay.
But of course, like you've already said, if you can get hold of a doctor, a nurse, a clinical officer, then the referral pathways begins from there.
Okay. Yeah. The key is seek help.
Yeah, because there's solutions to problems
there's
always a solution to a problem.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I have for you today at Health Talk Radio Africa. Clearly, this is a topic that we need to revisit, and if I can convince Dr. Esho to come back to our studio, I will definitely do that. But please, would like to hear what you thought about our program today. Dr. Esho is a good friend of mine, and I can forward all your questions to her. Believe me, she is one out of two sexologists in the nation of Kenya. In East Africa, as she said, she's just a handful. So this is a resource I am offering to you. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, eat healthy so you can stay healthy. Bye for now.
Bye.
you for tuning in at Health Talk Radio Africa. I hope you have enjoyed today's program and will join us for the next episode. If you have any questions or comments, contact me directly via email, which is healthtalkradioafrica@gmail.com. Remember, at Health Talk Radio Africa, we discuss health and nutrition issues that affect Africa. We offer practical solutions from the experts. Please subscribe to the program and share with friends. This way the program can be more visible and help as many people as possible. I am your host, Dr. Mary Mugambi, wishing you a fantastic time.